All right, team, welcome. Hello. Before I get into today's class, so today's class is a little shift in focus. We're going to be talking about visibility, building platforms, expressing yourself, creating communities, sharing your messages. We're going to be focusing on some of the sort of practical aspects of this mastermind. But before I get into that, I just want to address, obviously, everything we're all aware of that is going on in the world at the moment, and I don't want to ignore that before we get into the class today. So I wanted to provide the opportunity for just anyone, if you felt to. I mean, some of you might be feeling okay about everything, others of you may not, and I just wanted to give anyone the opportunity to share anything that they would like to share or receive any support if they would like it. So if any of you, even if you just want to let me know in the comments as a starting point, obviously the coronavirus stuff is huge at the moment. It's different in every country. Every country is experiencing different things and handling it differently. We've got, you know, borders closing, airports closing, all that going on. And I don't want to just ignore that before we get into the class today. So if anyone is coming into the session today feeling big emotions, feeling fear, feeling anxiety, if there's anything that you would like support from me or your community with anything that you're feeling, I just wanted to give anyone the opportunity to receive that before we dive in. So maybe even just type into the comments and give me a few words. What have you been feeling with what we are experiencing collectively with the coronavirus at the moment? Are you doing okay with it? Are you feeling kind of calm and collected, or are you experiencing fear? Are you feeling afraid of the future? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Just give me a few words. I just wanted to check in with where everyone's at before we get into before we get into the call. If anyone wants to talk on audio or video, you can. But yeah, I just didn't want to ignore that before I dive into the class today. Does anyone have anything they want to share? Dawn, I'm feeling encouraged by how the community is working together. Padimata, feeling bad about the virus. Gemma, thank you for acknowledging this. So many thoughts and emotions. I feel calm amidst the chaos, honestly. And even more called to do light work. Sorry, my light's just popping in and out a little bit at the moment. We'll just ignore that. Don't get distracted. Kylie, calm and collected here. Beautiful. Has anyone got work from home enforcement going on at the moment? Is anyone's, I know a few organizations are asking employees to work from home. In my women's group coaching program, we've got a couple of women who are now on work from home. Sophia, I feel a lot at the moment. I'm not worried about the virus. I get more upset and emotional by how people respond and how much fear is around. I personally have a lot of trust in the process. What is happening with my lighting? I'm trying not to get distracted, Connie. Amanda, I'm okay. Worried for those that may be older or those who aren't well otherwise. Yeah. Okay, guys. Wow. It's, first of all, it's beautiful to hear a lot of you are managing to feel calm and grounded and centered despite everything that's going on. Absolutely, there is fear, a lot of fear that's both individual and collective. Gemma, it's an option, but not forced me to work from home. Kylie's still working face to face. Okay. I put my laptop in for repair in the Apple store and then got notification that Apple stores are all closed internationally. And I was like, oh, okay, well, there's my computer gone for a while. yeah, I think we just need to be responsible with the, not completely self-quarantining, but the responsible with the way we're taking precautions, but, yeah, being mindful to not get overcome by the fear energy, because, and I actually feel I'm probably going to jump on an Instagram live after this and talk, because I haven't talked much about it. I've just been navigating it in my own self, because it's all a little bit, there's a lot of uncertainty. I think that's what's creating fear. There's a lot of uncertainty around the impact this is going to have on us in the future. And there's, I mean, the fear I've actually noticed is around supplies. That's where my fear has come up, because you know, we've all experienced the complete lack of toilet paper. And now there's a lot of, I'm seeing footage and things of like empty shelves in supermarkets. And my boyfriend was at the supermarket and said all the meat was gone. And, you know, we're seeing people act from fear. And when we're afraid, we want to grasp and hoard and cling and do whatever's going to make us feel safe. And so for a lot of people, they're finding safety through that kind of controlling of things. And I saw a post just before I came on here that was like, if everyone just continued to buy toilet paper and buy food in the way they always were, there'd be enough food and toilet paper for everyone. But it's the mass hoarding that is creating the shortage. But as Kylie said, it's comforting for people. That makes people feel safe and in control amongst the chaos. So we understand why people are doing that, but it also, you know, that creates a fear in me. I'm like, oh, well, what happens if I need bread or need milk and I can't get it? So that's been coming up in me. Sorry, it's just getting really dark in here sometimes. Bianca, I feel sadness coming in. Like this feeling I've had inside of me for a long time is resurfacing. And I love that this is an opportunity to check in with what I'm feeling. I'm choosing to see this as an opportunity to awaken as a planet. Beautifully said. There is absolutely opportunities in here for me, for us all. And it's about the biggest thing that I want to do a podcast on it too, that I want to share about is just the way we're managing our inner state during this time is everything. We cannot control what's happening outside of us. And I think, these types of events are going to become more common, and that's not in any way to instill fear. It's just the nature of what's unfolding. The planet is shifting in a big way. I mean, we went through this in Australia with the fires in January. It was apocalyptic and fear and everything. We're being asked to become more resilient and to become better at managing and processing our inner reactions. The fear that comes up in us, we're being asked to become stronger and more resilient and more adaptable and more capable of how we work through our emotions. Our ability to be centered and calm is less reliant now on what's happening outside of us and more reliant on what we're doing within ourselves, because the world is going to become more unpredictable. And that's not a reason to become afraid. It's not. We're just going to have to become better at dealing with uncertainty and become better at dealing with change and things shifting and become more resilient in not taking on board what's happening outside of us. Yeah. I'm just going to see if I can shift positions a little. It's very overcast and rainy here today, which is why the lighting is so dull. I know you guys don't care. And I know I make a bigger fuss about it than I need to, but I just thought I'd see if I could, I don't know, probably nothing I can do about it. I'll brighten it up before I put the replay up. Any final thoughts, my loves, on that? Anything you want to get off your chest? Anything you want to express? Anything you would like support with before we move on to the class content today? And so if we have fear and sadness and different emotions coming up, our work in this time is to feel them and process them and then really be drawing on our personal practices that help us find our center again, that help us come back to ourselves, come back to our intuition, come back to this true perspective. The true perspective is that there is a massive shift and awakening happening, that ways of, you know, functioning on this planet that have not been working are falling apart, and we're being asked to discover new ways. We are being asked to come together as communities and love and support each other, work out how to begin cooperating again, and how to create new sustainable ways of moving forward. And so these challenges are birthing new possibilities. It's just when you're in the chaos, sometimes we can't see that. I'd also just encourage you just to be mindful of media consumption. The media is just on a fear frenzy right now. So if you can put in boundaries around your media consumption, definitely be informed, but just be mindful of completely inundating yourself with fear-based messages, because it's very hard to find your center when all that's going on. Yeah, Amanda, we're limiting how much news we watch with the kids. Great idea, because the news is pretty terrifying. Oh, goodness. But yeah, I just wanted to check in on how everyone's feeling and just check that everyone is safe and well and moving through this okay. And if at any point over the next couple of weeks or however long this goes on for, you are feeling big things, you can come into our community, share your thoughts, receive support, know that you've got a place to come and express what you're feeling and get the support you might need. Yeah? All right, love. Sending you all love. But it's beautiful to hear that there's some your most of your mindsets are in a fairly good place around this at the moment, which is wonderful. Beautiful. My pleasure, Bianca. Okay, love. So, yeah, Amanda, that's exactly what I was thinking too. Like, how blessed and lucky we are to have the internet and to be able to come together online. And, you know, sorry, I'm just going to keep going for a minute. And this will tie into what we're going to talk about today. There's a guy in Australia, a business coachy guy named Kerwin Ray. And he's got some great stuff up on his page at the moment around how his business is adapting. And he was running an in-person mastermind for 3 days. And they did the first day in person, and then they transferred the last 2 days online. And he was still up on stage teaching the way he would if everyone was in the room, but they live streamed it so people could watch it from home. And he was just talking about this opportunity we just have to adapt now. And I think a lot of people are going to be moving businesses and services and things online because it means we can still all connect. But during times like this, we can be in the comfort of our own home. So there's always as well, a push to innovate and adapt and come up with new ways rather than staying stuck in our old ways. Yeah. A blessing, relief, and comfort. Beautifully said. You guys are wonderful. Thank you for all of your beautiful, all of the beautiful perspectives you're bringing in. This is fantastic. So, you know, this leads on perfectly to this conversation of today's class, which is about creating platforms. And we're going to be talking about visibility. We're going to be talking about, being seen for who you are and what you feel you're here to share with the world, and creating certain platforms that will allow you to share that with people, right? And where I want to open up is talking about visibility, because visibility, I think, is one of the things that probably a lot of you would have felt was important for you coming into this mastermind, something you wanted to work on. And visibility for me personally is my ongoing lesson and learning. And I would actually say majority of the people that I come across who have an inner calling to share something with the world also have fear of visibility, also have blocks around being seen and heard, which is interesting, isn't it? And I remember thinking that with myself, how interesting that one of my biggest wounds and fears is around being seen and heard, yet my purpose in the world is to be seen and heard. And there's no accident in that. When your soul guides you onto doing work in the world or being on a path that will ask you to step through and break through your biggest fears, there's no accident in that. So if you are someone that is working through and bumping up against your own fears of being seen and sharing yourself, this doesn't have to be a hindrance or a reason that you can't keep following your inner calling. It's an opportunity to heal that wound, to break through that fear, and to step into a new way of being. So, you know, this is all of like what we're talking about, even with the virus, is this ability to reframe things. That's going to be a big skill that we will need to navigate the world moving forward this year, but also stepping into your calling this year, is your ability to shift your perspective, see things differently. And when you see things differently, it opens up a new possibility for you. It changes your energy. It changes how you feel about everything and allows you to step forward where previously you might have felt stuck. Amanda's like, I've never thought about it like that. I actually think there's no accidents in it, that the very things that are your deepest wounds and fears are often the very thing you have to break through to fully show up for your purpose and your destiny in this lifetime. And that's been orchestrated. It's been designed that way. It's It's been designed that way. So let's start this conversation around visibility. And I want you all just to like tune in yourself around what your fears are around being seen, around being visible. Now, this might, and not even just fears, but what arises in you around it. And I want you to think of different situations. Maybe there's some situations you feel really safe. I know with me, like with my immediate group of friends, my friends who know me very well and who I know will never judge me, I feel very safe to be my full self and let them see me and hear me and know me. So you might have some places where you go, yeah, you know what? I feel really safe to be seen and heard in that space. But then you might have some places where you go, oh no, that's terrifying for me. For example, to share my true thoughts and feelings online in a public forum where everyone will be able to see them. Or to write on a blog and put that piece of writing out into the world. Or to show up on video and let someone really see me, fully see me and feel me and potentially judge me. It's just interesting to notice in yourself where this fear gets triggered, and also what the inner stories are that go off in your head. Kylie, being judged, haters, being seen by people I know before I'm ready to be seen by them. They feel big. As you identify them, notice where you hold them in your body. Where does that arise for you in your body? Sophia, for me, to be seen is to be vulnerable, beautifully said. And I struggle feeling into vulnerability and allowing people in. You are 100% right. That's so beautifully said. To be seen is to be vulnerable. 100%. Exactly. And this is part of the journey of being seen, is to be able to lean into the vulnerability that will arise around that. I think it's very rare to, we're having crazy weather in Sydney. Over the past couple of hours, it has gone from sun to rain to sun to rain to sun to now pouring rain. Sorry, it's a little distracting. It's like fully raining out there. So our ability to, I think any time we allow ourselves to be seen, there will be vulnerability there that will come up. Why are we so afraid of vulnerability? Let's just keep this conversation going. Why is vulnerability such a scary or uncomfortable feeling? When we actually begin to embrace vulnerability, it is an incredibly beautiful human quality. It means you're alive, you care, you are feeling it all, you are living. To be vulnerable. Amanda, it's about self-acceptance too. It's sunny for me on this side of the bridge. Yeah, Webham, really cool. Isn't it crazy? Other side of Sydney, and she's got the sun. So interesting what's going on here. So what is it? What are the judgments we have about vulnerability? Because, you know, even to Kylie's point when she said my fear is about being judged, well, the vulnerability is that we are showing maybe an imperfect, not fully put together, maybe not fully articulate, maybe not fully intelligent or wise aspects of ourselves. Kylie, I think vulnerability for me feels like weakness. Gemma, because we want people to like us. You guys are identifying this really well. Hey, Kylie, vulnerability for me feels like a weakness. Feel into that a bit more. Why does it make you feel weak, or why is it a weakness? I just want to keep unpacking this. This is really good. Gemma, because we want people to like us. Now, this then means there's a story that certain aspects of us are more likable than other aspects. And what is that model that we've created? Because we've created a model and a belief system here. I'm more likable when I'm like this, and I'm less likable when I'm like this. Now, that's going to affect you in all areas of life, isn't it? That's going to affect you being the fullness of yourself in your relationships, in your career, with your family, in your work, everywhere. If we have that running model, people like this, but they don't like this. Make sure I'm like this, but I'm not like that. That will block you being the fullness of yourself everywhere. And we all have it. We are trained like that growing up. We're trained, be more of this, be a good girl, be nice, be polite, be sweet, be perfect, whatever it is. Bianca, I'm afraid of being judged by how I look and by what I say, that they'll think I'm not beautiful or thin or fit enough, that they'll think I'm not smart or brainwashed. That's interesting. That's an interesting word that came up, she's saying. Dawn, I don't feel fear at a later age. It's one of the blessings of being older. It is. I'm still progressing in this, but I feel with every year that I get older, I worry less what people think about me. When I was in my 20s, it was everything to have people like me. Everything. How to cope with judgment. Looking out with love and approval. Okay. So remember when we've talked about judgment before in one of our earlier classes, that the judgments, it all comes back to the judgments we hold about ourselves. Because if you have something in yourself that you don't have a judgment on, that you don't feel any negative emotion around, you won't fear any judgment from others around it. And even if they did judge it, you'd kind of be like, well, I don't really care. So that's not really a thing for me. But if someone judges a place in you that you already feel tender about, it's really painful. So this is all starting to look within ourselves, still at the judgments, the rules we have on ourselves. We say to ourselves, you're more lovable when you're like this and you're less lovable when you're like that. This part of you is not as good, this part of you shouldn't be like this. It should be like that. It's showing us all our still lack of acceptance within ourselves, our lack of love and support for ourselves, and all of the rules we're still putting on ourselves about who we need to be to get love and approval from others. Because the fear of judgment is all about the fear of losing other people's love and approval. Because if they judge us, they see something wrong in us, it means they don't like or love us, right? So this is where we get held back, and that's why this conversation visibility stuff brings up so much stuff. Because this is going to block you in all areas of life from being the fullness of who you are. And I have noticed the things that cause me to not want to be visible and to hide are the things where I feel shame in myself. We don't want anyone to see things in ourselves that we feel ashamed about, do we? They're the things we want to hide. They're the things we want to pretend don't exist in us. Whereas when you feel proud, when you feel really proud and happy, you feel more safe to be seen. But any aspect of shame, self-judgment, that will make you want to retract and shrink. So this is an opportunity to look now within you at still any of the patterns of thinking that are going on with how you relate to yourself and speak to yourself and treat yourself, right? Amanda, shame is a big one. So true. If I'm not being my best self, I really want to hide. And it's so mind-blowing because we all think this. I still come up against this all the time. Yet, hands down, every single person that I talk to, when they talk about leaders that they resonate with, the leaders they resonate with the most are the ones that are being vulnerable, the ones that are being real. Come on, who do you resonate with the most? The people who are really real and relatable and human and flawed and have all these different aspects to them, or someone who's perfect and ethereal and you're like, oh gosh, I've got this person on a pedestal. How will I ever be as good as them? I hear it from everyone that the teachers that are relatable are the vulnerable ones, the real ones. We want all aspects of people. But that's a journey within us to feel safe and ready to be like that. Yeah. Yeah, and Gemma, yes, with all of you. With all of you. You know, if one of you decided to come on here and only show, you know, how perfect and together you are and everything, everyone would admire you and still, like, love you and everything, but they might feel a bit of a disconnect and be like, oh, she wouldn't really understand then my, you know, my feelings of unworthiness or my feelings of self-judgment. But when you all come on and share it, we all go, oh, that's right, we're all the same. We're all experiencing this. And to be visible and to be seen is to allow all parts of yourself to be seen, my loves. That's the work, is to allow all parts of yourself to be seen. So this takes courage. It 100% takes vulnerability. And it takes deep self unconditional love, where maybe, yeah, you do reveal a part of yourself that isn't your favorite part of yourself. I mean, you guys get to see a lot of different parts of me. It's actually one of the things I love the most about teaching intimate programs, because I wouldn't say all of my communities get to see all of me, particularly my bigger communities, but I would say my more intimate communities get to see a lot more ranges of me. And I like being able to allow those parts of me out without any self-judgment. And so what this requires from me is deep unconditional love of myself. When I have the courage to be like messy or fussing over my lighting or imperfect or making a mistake or sometimes coming off a class and thinking that wasn't my best work, or maybe coming off group coaching call and thinking, oof, I could have handled that question better. I could sit here and berate on myself and think, well, I should never show up and do my work in the world again then. Or I can deeply love myself and say, you know what, honey, you did the best that you could. I'm proud of you. You had the courage to show up and be seen, and that's enough. And you're human and you're doing the best you can and you're being real, and that's okay. Let's keep going. So yeah, vulnerability is going to require, visibility is going to require vulnerability and all aspects of you over time being revealed. Oh, look at my lighting coming in and out. Now we've got like a big spotlight on me. Whatever, we're just going to deal with it. You get to see my nice shiny forehead. Oh, God. Amanda, it's so lovely to acknowledge that. Tears in my eyes. So there's an opportunity here for us to look at the places that we need to love ourselves more. Yeah. And the other interesting thing that comes up around, you know, visibility and sharing ourselves is other stories, like who am I to share this? And oh, it's already all being said. And she or he said it way better than I could say it anyway. And she or he is a way better role model of this teaching in the world. Like that stuff comes up for me constantly. And one of the things I've been guided to look at is, again, we've talked about this before, but my consumption versus my creation. So when I consume too much, particularly say other teachers in my space, teachers that are similar to me, their stories of them sharing things, if I consume a lot of that, I will just sit and be like, well, it's already all been said, and it's all been said really well. So there's nothing left to say. There's no need for me to really show up and say anything. However, and this is what I was processing on the weekend, if I stopped consuming all of that and I wasn't aware of anyone else who was sharing any of these messages, and then I felt I had a message to share, I'd be like, wow, it's really damn important that I get up and share this because people need to hear this. Yeah. But yeah, we've really got to be careful. If we are at any point noticing that we hear that story, it's already been said, it's already been created, it's already been done. You know, someone else has already done it, so I don't need to do it, or whatever it is. That's a time where we're like, okay, well, I need to stop consuming some stuff for a little while because I need to create space for myself. This is why we're talking about platforms. I need to create a platform for myself. There's no one else in the world like you. That is your superpower. And that's the other thing, right? It does not matter how many times you hear the same person say the same thing. No one will deliver it the way you deliver it. And if you weren't meant to share something, you wouldn't feel the desire to share it. If you feel any stirring in you to create music, to say something, to offer something, it's stirring within you because it's meant to be shared. It's not up to you to know how many people are going to hear it and who's going to get value from it and whether they've already heard it before. That's not your job. Your job is, and I'm talking to myself here because I've been working through this, is if I feel that stirring to express something, my only job is to follow that stirring. If I don't feel to say anything, then okay, I don't have to say anything. But the minute I feel it, it means there's something to be expressed through me. Kylie, and some will relate more to you than others, beautifully said, who are delivering a similar message. Exactly. That's why it doesn't matter. We are all saying the same thing. No one's really saying new stuff, but we're all just delivering it through our own way because there's billions of people on the planet and everyone resonates with different things, different people, different approaches, different conversations, different life experience, different ages, right? There are people who, like I'm thinking of you, Bianca, who maybe have seen all these different yoga teachers, but then they might see you and be like, she's similar to me. She's got a similar story, a similar journey. She looks like me. She sounds like me. She's relatable to me. Maybe there's been no other single teacher before you that they've really been able to connect with. And then you start speaking and they're like, yeah, this woman, there's something about her that she's clicking with me. You know, that's not your job to figure out that part of it. Bianca, do you guys feel more vulnerable to be seen when guys are in the room? This is a good point. I feel bigger feelings of judgment or if the bar was set even higher. So if there's men in the room, I work through this, Bianca, on my Instagram. I get really triggered by men watching my Instagram stories, particularly men who I've dated in the past. I still have quite a few of them that watch my stories. That used to be one of my biggest fears, actually, of doing an Instagram live, is that I would be live and I'd see one of the guys that I used to date or a guy that I know pop up. That used to be a fear for me. But what that showed me was my personal, like, I'm not saying this is for you, but this was for me. I had a real addiction to men's love and approval of me. And that comes from my daddy issues, to be honest. It was really important for me for men to always be thinking that I was beautiful and articulate. And, you know, I would never want a guy to see my stuff and think, oh, she's gone backwards or she's less attractive or I'm so glad I broke up with her or whatever. I've definitely had to process that. And even now, sometimes on my Instagram, I'm like, oh, if my ex-boyfriend saw my Instagram, would he think that I'm prettier or less attractive now? It's really interesting. Ooh, Gemma, I get more triggered by strong women who I admire. Yep, I relate to that. I get triggered by my peers who I look up to. Sophia, a lot has changed since I resolved some things with my dad. I'm able to better connect with men in general. Beautifully said. Yes. Let's just get the lighting popping back in. No, it's not going to do it for me. yeah, I've had to work a lot on dad stuff too. And that has really helped me. Beautiful. Dawn explains my concern with strong women. Is this related to mother stuff? Because exactly, for me, it's related to my relationship with my mom and what got me her love and approval. But, you know, it's really powerful and great to look at all this stuff. But what, and I've said this to you guys before, but what I have found to be pretty much the only solution to the fear of being visible is to be visible. The only solution to the fear of vulnerability is to be vulnerable. No one's going to like hearing this, but the only solution to overcoming your fear of judgment is to put yourself in places where you're going to be judged and deal with it. Learn how to deal with it. That sounds really blunt and brutal, but it's actually the only way. Because let's think about it. What is the other option? I mean, we can sit behind the scenes and do our inner work all we want, and that can absolutely help us. But the way that I've overcome the fear of judgment is actually just to put myself in the line of fire of it and just learn how to deal with it. And when I notice, say, judgment or like, for example, here's an example. So sometimes when I share really personal posts where I might write about something I'm working through, I have a lot of people who tend to respond like, oh my gosh, is Connie okay? Like, Connie's life sounds terrible. Is she all right now? And, you know, my spiritual friends understand, oh no, she's just in a process and she's just working through some stuff. But I'll have people message me on Facebook and be like, oh, Connie, are you okay? You know, I'm worried about you. Sounds like things aren't going well. And I'm like, oh God. And for a while that really affected me because I'd be like, oh my God, people are thinking like, you know, I'm falling apart and I'm not a good leader and I'm not positive and my life is a mess, whatever. And now I'm just kind of like, cool, think whatever you want. Can we become more resilient in what we do when other people bring their judgment to us? It's up to us to decide, do I take that on board and let that paralyze me and make me question myself and think, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And I should change the way I'm expressing myself. Or do we feel the sting of that? Because it does bring a little sting, whatever the judgment is. But do we learn how to become strong and resilient in that? Like the age-old saying, water off a duck's back. Why do we take on board and internalize everything that everyone else thinks? It will be impossible for you to be a leader in this world and be big and bright and visible if you are taking on board every single thing that everyone thinks about you. So there's an opportunity here. You're allowed to feel affected by it and feel sensitive and feel a little bit hurt. But then we've got to know how to process that and then say, okay, well, this is going to be part of being seen, that I am opening myself up for everyone to have different opinions, and that's got to be okay. And I'm just going to love and support myself and keep believing in myself and keep moving forward. Does that make sense? Okay, so we've got another story. Kylie, what if you don't share because you believe you have a belief that you're boring? So much coming up for me. Good. I'm glad a lot is coming up for you. Let it all come up. Okay, a belief that you're boring. Mm-hmm. Well, this is interesting, right? Because how do we measure boring and interesting? Firstly, is that because we're looking to other people and being like, oh, that's what it looks like to be interesting, or, you know, for me to be interesting, that's what it would need to look like. And again, I think sometimes there's a pressure to have this really interesting life. Like, I follow people on Instagram who are like, I went to yoga this morning and now I'm at this like PR event for a beauty product, and now I'm over here having lunch with a friend, and now I'm going to go to the gym, and now I'm launching this new course. And you're kind of like, oh gosh, is this what life should look like if I'm going to be sharing my life? Maybe you don't have to share your whole life, or maybe you don't have to share things that make you look exciting and interesting. But this is what I need to get into actually what I want to talk about, because I'm getting a bit distracted. But it's actually about deciding, what do you want to share with your community? What is the purpose? If you're going to create a platform, what is the purpose of it? So let's start talking about this now. This is what the workbook goes into. Because there's a lot of different things that you can share. So you can share, you know, what you're up to in your life. You can. But if you actually think about what is the intention and purpose behind sharing these things, if you're going to create, I have that boring fear writing on my blog, that your writing is boring, Dawn, or that the blog is boring. What's the story there? This is the point that's going to be really important now. And what we need to get clear on is there's got to be an intention and purpose behind the creating of a platform and a community. Because without that, we'll look to what other people are doing. And I definitely do this. And I'm like, oh, I need to be posting about all these interesting things that I'm doing. And I need to, you know, have interesting stories or an interesting feed or whatever it is. Well, yeah, maybe if you're wanting to inspire people to have a really interesting life, maybe. But what is the purpose and intention of whatever platform or community you're wanting to create? Now, this will guide what will actually be valuable for that community. Because maybe for the type of community you want to call in, it's not about having an interesting life. Maybe that's not why they're following you. Maybe that's not why they're, maybe that's not even what they want to see. So let's talk about this with creating these sort of communities. And again, it depends what you're wanting to create. If you have, say, if you're creating personal platforms that are about you and your life, yeah, you might feel a pressure to show that. But first of all, what I want you to be thinking about is, you know, and what's so cool about platforms these days is we have an abundance. We are so blessed. We have an abundance of free platforms that allow us to connect with millions, if not billions, of people from all around the world. We have free platforms. We have dozens of free platforms that we can use to share ourselves, our wisdom, our gifts, our light, our messages, our offerings with millions of people. I mean, that is a blessing. That is such a gift. We are so lucky. You can use YouTube, a blog, Pinterest, a podcast, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, TikTok if you're into that. I'm definitely not. Snapchat if you're into that. All the different podcasting platforms. Like, there are so many different things that you can use. But it's about deciding, why am I using these? What is the purpose behind them? And when it comes to visibility, why am I wanting to be more visible? Why do I want to be seen and heard? It's not just for our own egos, so that more people will like us and love us. If we can actually find a really powerful intent behind that, it will help motivate us to show up. It will give us a reason why. It will give us a reason to overcome our own crap. But until we identify what that is for us, we're going to get stuck in our own kind of self-focused thinking. Does that make sense? So if you feel that you either have, like in Amanda's case, music you want to share, something you've created, in Dawn's case, writing, if you have messages that are coming to mind, if you have life experience, if you have, you know, yoga principles, whatever it is you want to share. Bianca here, thanks to social media, I feel connected to all the places I've always wanted to live in and to like-minded, amazing people like you girls. Yeah, we're so lucky that we can all connect like this. So first of all, what's the intention behind creating a community or a platform for you? The workbook will take you through questions like this, and I want you to work through it and really get that clear. Is the intention to help people feel less alone? Is the intention to share inspiring, uplifting messages? Is the intention to share wisdom that will bring comfort and guidance? Is the intention to share tools that you've used in your life that have really helped you? Is the intention to spread messages about body positivity and self-love? Is the intention to share the beauty of your music so that other people can feel moved and inspired by it? Is the intention to share words that create emotion and help people get into their imagination and dream up a new possibility? Like, what is the intention? Is the intention to get yoga accessible to people in their own homes, whatever it is? That intention is an important starting point. I know for me over the years, and you know, I kind of fluctuate in this a lot, but usually my intention is to, one, I think the intention of my writing and my messages normally is to bring a feeling of comfort and reassurance and helping people feel understood and less alone. That's usually one of my intentions. Another of mine is to share anything that I know that has helped me or my clients, whether it's a tool, a concept, guidance, an idea. So for me, I want people to come to my platforms and to have something that is valuable immediately for them, that they can take away, that they can use, that they can apply, or something that will shift their perspective or something that will inspire them. And that's the intention across all my platforms, whether it's my podcast, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, any of it. And for people to feel that they can come to a place where other people understand them and other people get them, you know? So for me, when my visibility crap comes up, what helps me overcome it is thinking about those people that need to hear what I have to say, that are feeling alone, that are feeling unsupported, that don't have the tools that I have, that don't have the like-minded community that I'm blessed to have, and to be able to offer them something that's going to help them. And that allows me to overcome my own stuff. But until we have that real reason why, we're going to keep getting stuck on ourselves. Does that make sense? And so once you've got clarity on the people that, you know, who are the people you want to connect with? I think we talked about this in one of our calls where we realized, you know, the person we want to teach is sort of who we were a few years ago or who we were 10 years ago, whatever it is, or who we were 1 year ago. Usually we're speaking to like the person we were before we went through whatever journey we've gone through. And we're thinking to that person and like, yeah, what were they struggling with back then? You know, this is why I created the Mastermind, to be honest with you, several years ago, was because when I started out my business journey, I had no one like-minded. I had no one who believed in me. I had no one offering me any tools on how to set up all this stuff. And so I was thinking back to myself 7 years ago on what I would have most needed. And I would have loved a container like this to come into to get the support, which is why I created this program. So when you can get clear, like I said, who are the people, if you could imagine you're creating, you know, your platforms, are you creating a community? And if someone was to come to your page, whether it's a blog page, YouTube page, Pinterest page, Instagram page, Facebook page, whatever platform you want to create, what would make them want to click the follow button? If you were to come to your page now, would you click the follow button? Is it offering what you feel like that ideal person you're wanting to connect with, what they're looking for? What are they looking for? And why would they follow you? So, and what I noticed with some of the people who come into my mastermind is maybe the platforms you have set up at the moment are more personal platforms up until this point. They've been what you just share with friends and family, and that's great. So there might be some shifting that needs to happen. If you decide, I want to turn this platform into more of a space that's supportive for the type of women or men I want to call in, or I want to set up a brand new one that will speak directly to them. But understand, they're scrolling through Google, they're scrolling through YouTube, they're search up at night searching, typing in things into Google, they're looking through Instagram, they're looking through a podcast app, they're looking for things to help them, to solve their problem, to give them a tool, to give them something that will alleviate the discomfort they're feeling. And when we create a platform, we're providing that. And so if someone was searching and they came across you, I want you to think about what you're putting out there. Is it magnetic? Is it in alignment with what they're looking for? Where they go, oh my goodness, this woman is like speaking my language. This woman's talking to me. This woman, she's like, she's the same as me. And look, she was like that and now she's here. How did she do it? Oh, I want to know more about her. Even think about when you come across new people's work. I'm always really curious about this. If I come across someone's Instagram, who I've never seen before, someone's website, someone's YouTube channel, what makes me want to click that follow button? And what makes me want to engage and become a part of their community? I want you to think about what does it for you. And that will give you an insight into maybe what people are going to be looking for when they come across you and your work. So creating, being visible and creating our platforms is not just about us being seen. It's about us being of service. and being able to get out of our own way and offer what we are destined and here to offer. What are you here to offer people? Now, in Kylie's situation, again, it may not be that you're here to offer these interesting insights into your life, but I know for a fact, Kylie, you have wisdom to share. You have wisdom to share. You have life experience. You have learnings. Who is the woman that will resonate with you and the way that you're going to deliver this? You're going to share this. Who is the woman that is looking for you and what you have to offer? Describe her and start speaking to her. Is this resonating, my loves? You know, and this really helps us with creating content online too. Beautiful. Bianca's saying totally. Thanks to, oh, no, sorry. You already said that. I just saw that comment and I was like, is that a new one? Dawn, this is great. Even let me know as you're thinking about this. Share with me, who are you wanting to speak to and what do you want to create to help them or connect with them? What do you want to offer them? Beautiful. This gives me a lot to think about, says Amanda. Kylie, it changes the focus. Beautiful. Yeah. Because sometimes I get, you know, caught up in my head around whether things look the way that I want them to look. And I'm like, no, but it's not about that. Like, our communities, like I have a lot of people who just sit on the fence and watch what I do. And they're the people usually whose judgment I'm most afraid of. But if I don't focus on them and I actually focus on the people that are struggling right now and really need some light and some wisdom and some help, if I can think about that, it will help me get over the fear of what the people sitting on the fence are going to think and speak more directly to the people that really need to hear what I have to say. I struggle with this because my Jill of all trades means I want to help with everything. Okay. So sometimes that is, you know, we feel to speak to everyone and everything. And I can relate to that. I've been a bit of a Jill of all trades for a while. But maybe think about it a little bit more and even see if you can drill it down a little bit. I know, I think, Gemma, I'd seen you mention on one of the posts about corporate women, speaking to corporate women or women who were wanting to transition out of the corporate space. I can't tell if I'm making that up, but maybe if you were to think about, yeah, because often it is related to yourself and your journey and the people you want to speak directly to. And we can initially start out sort of speaking to everyone, but I think the more that we can think about who other people specifically we want to talk to, the easier it becomes to create content for them. You know, and this is, it's, again, we get caught up in these, in our platforms. It sort of feels like it's a popularity contest. I know it feels like that on social media. I really relate to that. But I want you to think about it more as it's about building relationships. That is the beautiful gift of social media, is building relationships. And when it comes to sales, which we'll talk about money and offerings in the next couple of classes, relationships are the key to sales. Relationships are the key to marketing. The key to selling to your community and getting clients is not about how popular and cool and pretty and whatever you are. It's about, do people trust you? Do people feel safe with you? Have people already found so much value in all the free content that you've delivered? They're like, well, I want to know more about this person, or I want to engage more in what they're offering because I've already got so much out of what they've already shared with me. You know, this was sort of what worked really well for me without me even realizing when I very first started, because I wrote on a blog, you guys probably know this, but I wrote on a blog for a couple of years without the intention of it ever becoming a business, purely because I was just sharing myself and I would share things I was working on personally. I'd share insights and people really got to know me. We built really strong relationships. So when it came to me offering my services, it was a no-brainer for them to buy from me. They're like, this woman adds value. I trust her. She speaks my language. I want to work with her. You know, and investing money is just about trust. We buy from people we like, know, and trust. We buy from people when we feel like there is a low risk of, it's a low risk investment. So a high risk investment is like, I'm going to put down this money, but I have no guarantee what you're going to provide for me is actually going to meet my needs or be valuable. But if you provide all this free content and that person is like pretty certain this person's stuff is epic, I have no fear around investing money in them because they've already shown to me that they get me, they're trustworthy, they're honest, their content is valuable, they're offering me tools that are helping me. It's easy for me then to want to invest money in them to work with them further. I feel like I'm jumping ahead into future conversations, but you know, you understand where the building of these communities and these relationships is the foundation of every single online business or real life business in the world. Relationships are everything. And through social media, we have the ability to create phenomenal relationships with people. We really do. Like, I guarantee you, there are people out in my audience that feel like they know me. They feel like they're my best friend. I have people say that to me. I have a lot of people jump on discovery calls and be like, oh my gosh, Connie, like, I feel like I know you. Like, I've been listening to you for years. And that's what you want to create with people, this really beautiful connection. And social media or whatever platform, a podcast, YouTube, a blog is a phenomenal platform, a phenomenal way to do that. How else do we get to do it? Dawn, I want to speak to women who have gone through similar situations. Suicide survivors, widows, people without arthritis. I want to offer hope. And Dawn, no one can speak to those people the way you can. I couldn't speak to those people. Those people probably wouldn't resonate with my work because I haven't walked those journeys. I don't know those stories. I don't know those life experiences. This is why we are all here to connect with different people. This is why there's communities for all of us. Because Dawn's journey is different to my journey. It's different to Bianca's journey and Gemma's journey and all of what you're sharing. I can't speak to any of the women that you can each speak to, or men. So Dawn, 100%, this is what, and I said this was one of the points I was going to cover on, but this is how you stand out in a crazy, noisy online world. You realize that your journey, your story, your life experiences are what are going to set you apart from anyone else. Every single one of you and I could go and teach about self-love, but we would all teach it completely differently, based on the way that we personally have walked our journey of self-love and the personal challenges we've encountered around self-love. Do you agree? That's what makes you stand out. The more you can deeply honor the power of your unique journey and life experience, and you can create beautiful stories and share that and share beautiful content, the more you just carve out your own unique, beautiful audience who will be loyal and devoted to you, because no one else will be able to teach those concepts the way you teach them. And this is how we get over our fear of visibility, when we realize just how needed we are at this time. You know, any of us that identify as a light worker, we are so needed at this time. Like, so many people are suffering. So many people feel alone. So many people feel stuck. So many people feel in pain. And if we have anything that can offer those people hope and support and guidance and tools, we need to get over our fear of being judged and our fear of not being liked and our fear of what people will think. And we need to show up and use our voice in whatever way we are meant to. Bianca, I'm going to revisit this masterclass many times in the future for sure. You're speaking so much truth. My pleasure. It's just coming through me today. This class was quite unstructured. I really just felt to come on and share. So I think in my next class, I'm going to be giving you a lot of writing prompts to help you with really fleshing out your personal story, your personal life experiences, and how this is going to lay the foundation for your work moving forward. Because that's a really key part of it. But I really want you to be thinking about it. Be mindful of looking to how anyone else is doing this. You can, sure, gain inspiration and gain ideas, but if looking to how other women are doing it or other people are doing it is causing you then to feel shame or self-judgment or want to shrink, then it's not serving you. So then we need to reduce that consumption to give ourselves the space to hear what we're meant to be here to share, we are here to share. So again, creating these communities too is about a two-way conversation. This is one of the biggest things, particularly in the social media world, that we need to keep in mind. If you in any way want to be building, social media communities or any community that, I'll come to your comment in 1 second, Sophia. I've just seen that pop up. With communities, it's always a two-way conversation. This is one of the biggest things that, just to talk social media for a minute, one of the biggest things that is a trend in social media and in the algorithms and in what Facebook and Instagram are trying to encourage is two-way conversation. So, you know, posts that get the most engagement, that have a conversation happening in the comments, that have people sharing it or whatever, they're the posts that get the most reach. Because Facebook and Instagram don't just want people sitting on a soapbox sharing, they want community and conversation and interaction. So it's always important to think about that too, is whatever community you're creating, it's not about you bringing in followers. It's about how do I create a community where there's beautiful conversations happening here? Just like if I was to bring together a group of people in real life. Okay, Sophia, this is going to be a good question, I think. I kind of feel conflicted because part of me doesn't resonate with all this online stuff. I love working with people in person and connecting and sharing experiences, and I find that I can't connect online in that way. I feel pulled in two directions. Okay. So I've had this come up a lot in different masterminds where particularly if people don't resonate with social media, which is fine, or the online space, which is fine. And that can be for a couple of reasons. It can be it's maybe not going to be your zone of genius. Totally fine. It's maybe also not as familiar and comfortable. There can be a whole range of reasons. You don't get the same satisfaction from it, or you don't feel as free in it. Totally fine. If you feel more drawn to create things in person, I would follow that. Like with everything I want to teach you in the mastermind, I want you to then take it all, but then feel into, okay, well, what's the way I personally want to apply this in my own way? And if me sort of talking about online communities, you're like, okay, that's not as much my vibe. Well, how can we apply some of these principles in other ways? So I would follow, firstly, if you're feeling a pull to work with people in person and create in-person experiences, I would follow that and I'd create more of that. Yes, Kylie, beautifully said. I feel like everyone feels this to a degree. Yes. And the online stuff is just a tool for people to find you. That's exactly what I was going to say. So that's just the beauty of these online spaces, are that they are a way for people to find you. I'm having a couple of thoughts come in. So you might find you teach and share and help and do all that way better in person. But it's just being mindful about we're really lucky to have these different platforms that allow us to have people find us who might otherwise not find us. And if that doesn't feel like, you know, the place you want to put all your energy at the start, that's totally okay. But we're really lucky to have it as a way for people to come across us and our work. The other thing is, I'll see how this sort of lands, but you know, the other thing that social media is really encouraging at the moment is video content. and you're seeing, you know, IGTV and Instagram stories, it's all about video content. The thing is, how do I kind of articulate this? We actually can, what am I trying to say? I'd almost look at what is getting in the way of you, say, being on video. This might be too much of a stretch, but I'm just sort of like just putting it out there. Being on video and speaking versus being in front of someone and speaking. Because this is kind of what I'm finding is video work is outside my comfort zone, but the energy I'm bringing to you, like I'm teaching a class now, is the same energy I'd bring if you were all sitting in front of me. Like, I know I would get, you know, beautiful energy back in person. Maybe it's more nourishing, but I'm just, this is a great conversation. I'm just sort of like trying to feel a little free with you. Let's see. In my case, I like online connection. Oh, bloody light, come back. But I wonder if it's helpful and healthy for my followers, because when I get on Instagram, I can't stop scrolling. So I want to let that be my, I want that to be my platform, but it will mean that I'm letting my followers go through that. Does that, so they won't be able to put their phone down as quickly as they would like to. Does that make sense? Yep, it does make sense. Can't even hear you on video, rocking it. Not wanting to add to the noise on Instagram, to me, well, then it's like we have a responsibility to ensure that if we are putting something out on Instagram, it's really damn valuable. Because I sort of started to feel really conflicted about just sharing stories of my life, because I'm like, ugh, you know, I'm just throwing my life in people's faces, and who needs more noise about my life? Versus if someone's mind just mindlessly scrolling, but then suddenly they see this post that offers them a tool or helps them feel different or makes them go, oh my gosh, like, yes, that's exactly what I need right now. It almost brings a greater sense of responsibility to ensure that we're being conscious and deliberate with what we're sharing. This isn't us just about being us, like, I've got to be visible and let me share heaps of content. Like, a lot of people do that and it's not magnetic. But maybe you just be really conscious and deliberate. And you're like, I'm only going to post once a week or once every 2 weeks, however often feels good to you. And I'm going to make sure that when I do post, it's something that if someone was scrolling, this would actually be really valuable and inspiring and helpful for them. It would actually add to their life experience, rather than what most things do, which is, I don't know, create comparison or, you know. And also, if Instagram doesn't feel like the platform for you, it doesn't have to be Instagram. But I think we have a responsibility. We can use it in a really conscious, there's a lot of people that I follow that add immense value to my life when I watch their stuff. Yeah. Sophia, I know part of me is holding back because of the unfamiliar aspects of video, but like you said, there's just more feedback and energy and connection in person. Beautiful. So yeah, you might find your joy is in person work. Beautiful. That's great. And maybe just you see some platform, whatever platform you want to create, as just an opportunity to help connect with people who maybe don't live where you live, maybe can't come and do in person with you. Sometimes that's a nice way to think about it. It's like, okay, well, like, for example, let's say you had a coaching session with a client and you and that client were talking about, I don't know, self-care. I'm just making something up. Self-care. And you had this beautiful conversation with this client and they shared with you, oh, that was, so, you know, this, and this was so helpful for me. And so you got that hit and you were like, oh, yeah, that was so good. Maybe there's someone on the other side of the world who wouldn't be able to come and work one-on-one with you and experience that. And so maybe it's just like you write a little post and you go, oh, I had this session with this client today. We were talking about self-care and I shared with them a couple of these practices and they found this and this really valuable. And I just wanted to share that today. And maybe you just put exactly what you gain value from in that one-on-one into a little post or a little quick story so that anyone else around the world who maybe couldn't come and work with you one-on-one still gets to gain value. And this is actually a great way to multi-purpose content. You know, Bianca, if you run a yoga session, anyone who, if you're doing anything where, you know, even if you're just chatting with a friend, you could be having coffee with a friend and that friend's like, oh, I'm just feeling really overwhelmed and emotional right now. And then you share some guidance around, oh, here's what you can do to support yourself when you feel a big emotion. And you have this great conversation with your friend. And then maybe you're like, oh, I might just make a few notes on that. And I could just share that on my Instagram. It's like, oh, you know, I was having this conversation with this friend and we were talking about things that support us when we feel big emotion. And here's a few things that we spoke about. So that can be one way to still focus on the in-person and enjoy that, but extract little pieces of wisdom from those experiences that people who can't come and be with you in person can still access. Does that make sense? That can be one way. And also then that prevents you having to come up with, you know, all this new content and it feels like a lot of effort. Amanda, yes, I've realized I have to be online for people to find my music. It's a big learning curve, but I feel it's necessary. I've got to learn new skills and this course is really helping, thankfully. Yeah, look, the world is moving into a very online space. And it doesn't mean we're going to not be having in-person experiences at all. We don't ever want to get rid of that. But it just depends what type of, if you want to build a business or share your music, who you want to reach. And if you want to reach people outside of, like if Amanda only wanted to reach her local community, she could go out and do some gigs and do some events and, you know, send some samples out to people in her local community, whatever she could do and, you know, sing at the local community hall, whatever the things are that you can do. And she could get great access to her local community. But then she's missing out on the other billions of people who would maybe love to hear her music. So it just depends what type of business you want to create and who you want to be working, who you want to be helping. Amanda, I've had some... singing, I've had someone suggest I do a podcast giving singing lessons and I'm not sure I'd like to do that, but he'd be happy to give tips and share experiences online in short videos. I love helping people find confidence in their own voices. There's a woman that I came across ages ago who, very different to you, so there's no comparison, but she was doing something like that. What was her name? I'll see if I can find her. I remember she was doing, that was her passion. She was a singing teacher and that was her passion, was kind of doing stuff like that. And she's very different to you. So again, no comparison, but beautiful. That is a beautiful way to be able to share your gifts and expertise and knowledge and wisdom. And, you know, the beauty of online is how many people are sitting scrolling the internet at 9 o'clock at night when they're in bed looking for something to help them. We can't ignore how many people are doing that. And like I said, if you don't want to go online, you don't have to. But depending on what you want to create with your business, we just get to access a lot more people. Gemma, my mind is racing right now. I'm excited to dive into the workbook. Me too, says Bianca. Amanda, there's lots of people doing this on YouTube, but I would do it in my own way. Beautiful. You would do it in your own way. You would speak to a certain group of people that maybe other people wouldn't speak to. Gemma, people ask me for recipes all the time and I have no desire to do that. So apparently I need to focus on my real goal. Bianca, by the way, Amanda, I heard the song you posted in our group and it's amazing. You're so talented. And I love the way I felt when I was listening to it. Yeah. Yep. I felt that as well. Beautiful. Beautiful. I also just wanted to share something. This was something that I copied and pasted off Instagram last time I ran this mastermind. So this comment's a little old, but I want to read it out again because I remember being really impacted by it. And this is just a bit of a post about really ensuring we're just doing business in our own way. So I'm going to give you whatever has worked for me and I'm going to give you whatever I've seen work for other people, but please tailor it to you. Please follow still what feels good and right to you. take on board what I've said and maybe see if you can go, okay, there's some little stretch steps for me here where I need to break outside of the limitations I'm putting on myself and try something different. But also, if something just genuinely doesn't feel right to you, don't take it on board just because I've said it. You can let it go and find your own way. Yeah. So if any of you don't follow Peter Kelly, I would follow Peter Kelly. She's an amazing, so it's P-E-T-A, Peter, P-E-T-A, Kelly. She's just a really, like, one of the people online who's speaking in a very authentic, unique, real, like, I don't know anyone that writes like her. I don't know anyone that communicates like her. She's very much her own person. And like, no one could copy her even if they tried. And it's a really beautiful example. And she has a funny relationship with social media. She often talks about that. She's a mom with two kids and really tries to put a lot of boundaries around it. But also when she comes on and shares, it is potent. So sometimes she won't share that frequently and it's almost like that's irrelevant. But you know, when she comes on, she's got some truth to share. So I would check her out. She's amazing. Oh, torrential rain again. But this was a post she did a little while ago and she titled it Peaceful Business. And she just said here, here's a few quickies for my entrepreneur buddies. If it feels gross, don't do it. Promoting, podcasting, email lists, Facebook, employees, meetings, even Instagram. You don't have to do what others are doing if it doesn't work for you. Ask yourself this question daily. If I didn't know how it should be done, how would I do it? Marketing is nothing more than revealing your essence in the most accurate way. I just love that sentence. I'm going to read it again. Marketing is nothing more than revealing your essence in the most accurate way. How well is your story being told? Are you revealing yourself or imposing information? Show people the soul of your business, your entity, your art, you, whatever your product is. Stop spending your energy on trying to keep up with the social media Joneses at the expense of your authenticity. You don't have to get big to be great. Big doesn't always mean great. Sometimes small is more aligned and peaceful. Don't do things just because other people in your field are. Don't want a podcast? Don't. Don't want to hang around people for a week at a retreat? Don't. There's no such thing as being left behind when you are in your essence. There's no such thing as competition when you are in your essence. Stop reacting and start creating. She shares stuff like that, like really like truth bomb, shared through her very own unique way of expressing. And I just always find like, whew, it's just good, everything she shares. And I just love this idea of marketing just being the revealing of our essence. And as she said here, are you revealing yourself or imposing information? And she does a really beautiful job at revealing herself. And I know that makes us feel vulnerable. And I also love what she says here about you don't have to get big. It's not about numbers. It's not about having massive platforms. It's not about any of that. It's about making an impact in whatever way you feel to. And we're just lucky that we have all these different platforms that we can find the one that's right for us to use, right? To share ourselves if we want to. Yeah, I'll post it in the Facebook group. For you, for sure, ladies. I'm glad that resonated. Yeah, she's got some real good stuff. So there's a lot of prompts in the workbook about authenticity. And, you know, I'm not perfect at it either, but I do find the times that I can be the most authentic are the times that my work connects with and impacts people the most. And Gemma's saying it takes so much pressure off. It does. I think anything that feels like pressure is out of alignment. So sometimes we need to step back for a little while and find what's going to feel right for us and our unique way to share and then follow that. You know, that's sometimes why I take kind of extended breaks from sharing everything, because I'm just trying to recalibrate back into my own energy. Because I could be sharing on Instagram all the time, but I know I'm doing it because I should, and I'm doing it from pressure, and I'm doing it from comparison, and I'm doing it from reactivity. And I really try to just ensure I'm finding the space of like, do I really have something valuable to share? Do I really feel ready to share it? And let me just feel through that until it feels aligned. And I'd like to be much more consistent, and I'm hoping that will happen. But for now, I'm in a bit of a push and pull experience where sometimes I'm really pulling away just to like find my voice, my energy, what wants to move through me, and then I go and share. And so it's okay to do that. Any questions, my loves? Any thoughts as we're coming towards the end of this class? Not sure if there's anything else. Yeah, I just feel like that all kind of came through. Yes, Bianca, the story you shared on Instagram about men is on your IGTV. The one about the one about where I posted the snippet about walking in your hips rather than walking on your shoulders. Is that the one? So there was an IGTV that I did where I was talking about coming into our feminine. There's a tiny snippet of it on my store, on my feed, and then the rest of it is in a podcast. So I put the whole audio in a podcast episode. So my most recent podcast is that IGTV audio in there. Does that make sense? Is that what you're asking, Bianca? Yeah, I think that's what you're asking about, because I'm trying to think what else I might have shared. But I have a lot more that I think wants to start to come through about all this type of stuff. Beautiful, Dawn. So much in a good way. Amanda, lots to think about. Looking forward to getting into the workbook. Yeah, I look forward to hearing all of your thoughts on this. And if you do feel to be either creating a new platform of some kind or changing the way you're using your current platform or just being more visible on one of your platforms, come and let us know in the group. Come and let us know either, you know, what the platform is you want to focus your energy on, the audience that you're wanting to connect with and add value to and call in. And then what you want to offer with them, what your intention is there. Oh, Bianca, I heard the episode, so magical. When I shared before about feeling judged about men, you made a reference about you having something on IG, sharing your story with that. Oh, no, I think what I meant was that when I'm sharing a story, I have fear about it. But I can't remember. I don't know if I have anything else up about that, but I think that's a conversation. Maybe it was I'm feeling confused. But maybe that's something important for me to talk more about, perhaps. Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. Okay, my loves. Beautiful to see you all. Sending you lots of love as we navigate these crazy times. And if you need any support, come in and post in our Facebook group at any point and get any support that you need. We're all here for each other. And yeah, if you want to focus on your platforms and your visibility over the next couple of weeks, come and share with us what you'll be working on around that so we can all support you. Thanks for being here, Kylie. Thank you, everyone. Sending you love and healthy vibes too, Gemma. Thank you, Amanda. All right, loves. I will talk to you soon. Bye.